You're listening to Swimming World Radio. I'm your host, Brent Rutemeller, and today we're talking with senior Carolyn Joyce from the University of Georgia, who was recently named Swimming World Magazine's National Swimmer of the Week. Carolyn is three-time defending NCAA division champion in the 50 and 100-yard freestyle events and defending two-time champion in the 200. She currently holds the American record in the 50 with a time of 21.63. Thanks for joining us today, Carolyn.
Yeah, thank you.
So this season, it's your senior year. It's probably gone by fairly fast for you, I would say.
Oh, yeah, it's going by so fast. I can't believe NCAAs is right around the corner. I mean, it seems like yesterday, you know, I was competing in our pool for the national championship last year.
This season, your 50, which I'm assuming is your bread and butter, that's your specialty. Is that the one you take the most pride in?
Yeah, the 50 is my baby. I think I take it more serious than any of my other events.
And 21.73, only a tenth off of your American record. You got to feel good about that.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised at that swim. I think my coaches were too. I think I was a little bit more rested at SECs last year than this year, and so to come within, you know, that close to, you know, my SEC record and my American record is pretty surprising, and I think it's promising for the next couple of weeks.
Well, that 50 is such a quick race, and you know, tenths of seconds or even hundreds of seconds. It's very difficult to shave off. What are you doing differently this year to kind of, you know, improve on that American record?
We've been working a little bit on my start. There's a lot of room for improvement on that, actually. And on my stroke a little bit, try to lengthen it out and get kind of a high elbow catch as opposed to a straight arm catch. Just a bunch of little things, you know, timing my finish and my turns and stuff like that. So,
you know, a lot of people see the reaction times up on the scoreboard. As soon as the race goes off, they got the reaction time. How important is that in your mind?
See, the reaction time is kind of tricky. I feel like when I have a faster reaction time, I don't get as much power off the blocks, but when it's more, you know, average, then I think I have a better start. I think my best reaction time is like 0.67, but my start was just horrific. But if it's around like 0.73, then I usually get a pretty powerful start.
Carolyn, how are you measuring the success of the start? If you're not really looking at the reaction time, is there a point that you want to do your breakout and reach that point at a certain time? What are you looking for? What variables are you trying to control?
We usually look to break out in probably like 2.9 seconds. Anything under 3.0 is really good for me, and just try to make sure I don't get too deep. A lot, like my problem with my start usually is that I go up instead of going out, and so we've been working a lot on trying to, you know, keep my head down and going out, and if I do that, you know, I end up with a pretty good breakout time, and my action time is a little bit slower, but I think the start is better overall.
Okay, after you enter the water, are you going into a flutter kick or are you doing dolphin kicks?
I do about two or three dolphin kicks and then into a flutter kick for my breakout.
Okay. On your breakout, your first three or four strokes, is that a critical point in your race?
Oh, yeah, it's extremely critical. You know, the first three or four strokes have to be explosive, and, you know, that's what gets you out in front in the 50. And, I mean, it's such a quick race that every little thing is important.
And when you say a high elbow catch, is that where it's most important during those first four strokes?
Yeah, it's definitely important to get, you know, a really powerful catch. And I think the high elbow one is a little bit more powerful than the straight arm for me.
Okay. When you go into, do you have a set breathing pattern or a set number of breaths that you take for your 50?
Yeah, for the 50-yard free, I take one breath. I don't breathe at all on the way down, and then I slip, and I take about five or six strokes, and then I take a breath. But I'm trying to work on no breath right now.
Oh, you really? Well,
we've been doing a lot of hypoxic work this year, too.
So behind the blocks, do you have a ritual? Do you have some exercises that you're doing to get prepared for that duration without oxygen?
No, I mean, I usually just take a couple deep breaths, but I think I do that before all my races, just kind of relaxes me, and, you know, behind the blocks, I like to just have fun and smile and, you know, wave to my fans and my family.
Now, building on that 50 to set the tone for your 100, are you looking for what's your splits that you're looking for that 100, knowing that you can go a 21.7, you know, in a flat start 50. How does one build upon the other?
Well, the speed is really critical in the 100 for the first 50. The natural speed is. So Jack and I have talked about trying to take it out in 22.5 or 22.6 to the foot, and then, you know, endurance really comes into play on that second 50. So for the 100, I really try to just use, like, easy natural speed for the first 50 and then really turn it on the second 50.
So you're bringing your legs in at some point?
Right. I think right off the second turn is where I really start to turn my kick on and make my stroke very powerful.
So your first 50 in 100, what's your breathing pattern there?
It's hard. I have to breathe every 3 just so I have enough oxygen on the last lap. But, I mean, when I first got to Georgia, I was taking one breath down, and then I would take, you know, 2 breaths on the second lap, and then by the third and fourth 25, Jack would be like, oh, what are you doing? I would just fade. So, I mean, I have to make a conscious effort to breathe every 3 on that first 50.
And that's giving you the relaxed speed, I guess.
Right, right.
Okay. And then are you keeping that every 3 for the second 50?
The second 50, I probably don't breathe every 3. I probably breathe every 4 or 5. It's not as important because it's so much quicker, and I can suffer when the race is over. It's just not a big deal.
Well, you seem to have it down, winning both the 50 and the 100 for the last, 3 years as a freshman, sophomore, and junior. So, Carolyn, you know, having outstanding swims in the 50 and the 100, and then winning the 200 last year, where is the 200 in the whole strategy? Are you building upon the 100? How do you break it down?
I think that my sprinting ability comes more natural to me, but I train all middle distance all throughout the year, and so the 200 is really what I work for, and then I think the 50 and the 100 is just like the easy stuff for me, you know. Everyone was surprised that I could pull out a 200, but I mean, that's what I do like every day. That's the kind of training that I do. So I'm really glad it's finally coming along.
And so you'll be swimming all 3 of those races at the NCAAs.
I think Jenny Thompson has the record for NCAA championship titles.
Uh-huh.
NCAA titles, and she has 19. And I have 16 right now. She has the most of any athlete in any sport at 19. So I'll be going for her record this year in NCAA.
So you really do more than just a title on the line here.
Right. I mean, it's kind of exciting. I've always looked up to Jenny, and it was really neat to be able to swim with her on the national team for the last couple of years that she was swimming. And so to have this to look forward to, it's really cool for me.
So, Carolyn, after you go to the NCAAs, you got to turn around, get on a plane, and fly to Melbourne for the World Championships. How are you mentally preparing yourself to go finish off your senior year in the NCAAs and still get mentally prepared for the World Championships?
Yeah, actually, I have a day and a half in between my flight from NCAAs and my flight to Australia for World Championships. But I think if I need to view my season, I mean, all along I haven't really seen the be-all, end-all be at NCAAs. You know, I've been looking forward to Worlds for the last year or so. And I think if I just, you know, continue to view my season as ending at World Championships, it'll be an easy transition for me. I think we're just going to go up in yardage a little bit and then taper down again for the last half of the season.
And what races are you swimming at the World Championships?
I will be swimming the 50 free, the 800 free relay, and the 400 free relay.
Then you come back. Will you train with Jack for the summer and start preparing for 2008?
Yeah. Well, right now that's the plan. I'll come back, maybe take a week or two off, and then start, you know, preparing for 2008. It's really crazy how fast the 4 years go, and I can't believe it's only one more year now.
Yeah. Now, will you have more studies at the University of Georgia later this year and next year?
Yes, I have one more year of school after this, and then I'll be graduated.
Okay. And what's your studies in? What is your major?
My major is speech communications. I write a lot of papers, but we also learn about, you know, like the media side, and I'm taking a couple really interesting classes. I'm taking a war and media class right now, and we also learn about interpersonal communications and just every aspect of it.
Well, appreciate taking the time out of your busy schedule, Carolyn, and wish you lots of luck at the NCAAs and the World Championships, and hopefully we'll see you at the Olympic Trials and on to Beijing.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Well, this is Brent Rutemeller with Swimming World Radio, reporting on swimming from around the world. Thank you.